too many Tic Tacs in the town.
That's crushed.
Wow, those teeth. They're gorgeous.
Yeet. What's a yeet?
Yeet.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
Three guns and one goes off. One's empty, one's not quick enough. One burn, one red, one green. Set a graze while the cat spins. Chunks of you will sit down to see.
Golf Landia 135. Hey there. That's Alt J Tessellate. I lead with Tessellate typically. Sorry, Alt J. Four words in, already made a mistake. But I do like Alt J. And my friend on Twitter, his name, at Derek Olsenberg, DM'd me and said, check out this song. So I did. So thank you, D.O., for that recommendation. I actually let it play out a little longer this week, just in the background. Gets me in a mellow mood. I need to be in a mellow mood. I got a little hot this morning. Things are just crazy. Everyone is, you know, tilted, hungover from the weekend. There's a lot of movement in the industry, good and stressful. Whatever, we'll talk about it. But I need to follow my own rules and just wait 24 hours. I had a little reaction on Twitter this morning. Just wait 24 hours before I respond to anything. Because I get hot. A couple years worth of stuff that I've just, you know, shelved, put in the library. But there's a couple of things that bother me and have bothered me. I'm fine now. We're fine. Podcast is on Stitcher now, Spotify Casts, iTunes Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Or on Twitter, follow me at Wiley77, at Golflandia, or my burner account, at listener_leagues77. More on that in a second. There is an actual burner account, though, for Patrick Reed. I suggest you check it out. He's not very clandestine about it either, and some of his takes are just great reads. At Use Golf Facts. I think Joel Beal was the first one I saw, at least, to reveal this. And so credit to him. But there are some hot takes on that Twitter account, my friend. I don't have one friend. You're all friends. As for listener leagues, there is an actual DraftKings contest. And we have our winner this week. We have talk about the Arnold Palmer Invitational. We have Ryan. We've got your questions on Twitter, which are some of them are pretty funny. And a lot of you, though, are grumpy Gusses. Sour Sallies. As I said, I don't know what it is. Is it the Tommy Tilt? Which is understandable. I know one of you DM'd me, we were talking, and you said you were on a plane ride. And I guess if Tommy had just birdied or parred the last hole, it was the difference between winning 40,000 or losing three. And you just sort of put the window shade down on the plane because there was no place to go cry. And you just put your head right. And just the vision of you, this person, doing that is just fantastically funny, but I'm sorry. You're not one of the grumpy Gusses or sour Sallies. I put a tweet about Molinari out a couple hours ago. Just the interesting fact that he won last year less than, 12 months ago. He tends to just show up without a lot of form, as he did last year, playing twice in 16 weeks. And I said out of curiosity, it's interesting that he's plus 10,000 plus 17.5 in some books. People went nuts that I mentioned that. Not really nuts. This is just hyperbole. But anyway, at Walk Off 9 or at RIFO, I wouldn't bet him with your money. Yep. That's how Walk Off, I think, talks. I'm guessing. Or RIFO. RIFO's on a heater now. So now he's getting all sassy with me. And then the Listener League commentary. John. I'm not busting on John. It's busting the wrong verb there. I'm not getting mad at John. We reconciled. I don't think, though, he said everyone talks about Listener Leagues now. I don't think I've ever, except for right now, ever in my life used the word Listener Leagues on Twitter or on a podcast, because I hate those two words conjoined together. Just like I don't like the word sprinkle, sprinkled, live ad, model, model popping. I use model because I don't like the word. It's just something with me. Don't take offense to that. It's like me liking seven foods. It's just, I'm different. But anyway, there is an actual Listener League for Golflandia this week. 400 seats, $5 no rake. Guaranteed money. Join, you could be on the show. I thought this golf broadcast this week, not to mention the quality of the tournament of the Honda Classic, was fantastic. I love when the players are not comfortable on a course like a U.S. Open, and it just challenges them to the extreme. Because then you really see the best ball strikers and the best mental games come out. And I, you know, these, some of these parkland tracks on tour, when it gets to 20 under or so, it's not as fun when there's like a 9-shot lead. That was as exciting as it could get, except for my friend who had to stare blankly into a shut window on an airplane across country. Im is incredible. It was only a matter of time before he won. I think, like, we're always on the opposite side of those things. And I got Valimaki and Im early in the morning. So I wasn't, like, don't think I was on him all week. I lucked out. Im lucked out on a few shots, putts, that sand save at the end, the 2 feet, the fact that Tommy overcut one in the lake from the fairway. That's just, you know, like Hovland the previous week, making that miraculous miracle on ice, do you believe in miracles, better than most putt in Puerto Rico. Or even Mackenzie Hughes on 17 making the 50-footer. I go, here we go again, Mackenzie Hovland. But Im is incredible, and I don't think it's his last time he's going to win. I thought the broadcast was great. I thought Christy Kerr was great, and don't get me wrong. I know I had a lot of really knee-slapping content about Christy Kerr, but it was the truth. I mean, it's her first week. I understood that, and I said that in my Twitter, on my Twitter account. And for reference, Christy was playing the Dottie Pepper role and tracking certain groups and giving the real-time trajectory of shots in the air. And it seemed that early on, and I gave her a 5-shot pass with Charles, in that she'd always say it's right at the hole, right at the hole, and it was 40 yards into the stands. And then it started tilting us because it was for golfers we were following, like Im on 15, way left, and it's 4 feet from the pin. So I thought it would be funny content. She's new. She's getting acclimated. I get that. Listen, I couldn't track a ball in the air like that. I can't find my car at Panera, as podcast two story mentioned. I couldn't even imagine doing that job. I'd be on my phone the whole time. And now we go to Matt. How's the shot, Matt? Oh, it's a pretty good shot. I don't know. I'm under a tree, digging three deep into Shot Tracker on the new PGA Tour app. But, you know, you give people a hard time. Everyone's jealous that they have those jobs. I mean, you hit on people in media because you kind of want the job yourself and you think you could do it better. But it's okay. All these people can become, I mean, everyone's been torn down in this community. It's fine. What do you learn in therapy? Or what did I learn in therapy or with my psychiatrist? Is that the ability to laugh at yourself or not take yourself too seriously is such a big part of healing. And I think that is the value of Twitter sometimes, is that the second you stop taking yourself seriously, the second you build a lot more of a following. And the same with people, you know, in the media. And a lot of people are upset at success, you know. As I said, a lot of people would love that job and think they would get every shot right. Now, I don't think the batting average from Christy Kerr was fantastic. But, you know, she'll get better. But again, you know, this, I think one of the things is where live broadcasting and media in general, especially as we move into the space of fantasy golf and betting, is that you don't always have to be about accurate information. If you make the structure of your content, even live broadcast, strictly about information, you're subject to scrutiny every time. And, you know, Twitter fact checkers. So if you want to portray yourselves as perfect and accurate, everything you say is going to be scrutinized. Unless you have more of a self-aware persona, understand that you're not trying to be perfect, and then people give you a pass. Because it's just people watching the broadcast, projecting their own shortcomings, and no one wants to see someone who's great or perfect. It's just difficult. In fact, in order to recover from that, and become an icon in her first week, Christy Kerr, what she should have done, what I would have done, because I love writing comedy, is on Tommy's final shot from the fairway on 18, when he went for it in two, and he overcut it, push-sliced into the lake, she should have said, mid-air of the shot, "It's right at it." Now that would be content gold. She would have been a DFS icon if she said, "Oh, it's right at it," and started laughing. Oh, maybe I should do that job. That's all I'd ever say. "Yeah, it's right at it." Just fuck with all of you. "Stop it. I'm Grumpy Gus. Moo, moo, moo. You're not accurate." But the industry as a whole, as I mentioned, is the future of betting and betting content and live coverage, is it simply the old model of giving the audience information? Yeah, in some regards, sure. But it better be information that this audience, who is way more aware of the world around them, of golf, of sports, of statistics, of pop culture, of current culture, of betting, of everything. It better be more than, "I bet Lee Westwood 9-1. You know, it's just, it has to be more than that. It has to be more than just information. That'll last for the first week. If you are betting or in fantasy, you probably need it to learn the ropes. But after that, how many golf shots have we watched over the last 3 to 5 years? There's not a lot of things people can say that's going to educate us, except for real-time information that's accurate that we don't have. Other than that, what made, you know, a network, a powerhouse like Barstool Sports successful? Was it them giving you information? No. Not at all. And that's what they were, a lot of it, geniuses at. But then I was watching just at dinner, the TV beside my head. I wasn't watching it. It was just on. I saw something on a big sports network betting show. And it was just, there's no sound on, but it just came across as like a CNBC ticker. Ugh. It's just, that's not in this evolving world. It's not about more information, in my opinion. It's about, I'm not going to talk. I've talked about it on in spurts over 134 previous podcasts. And I'm tired of giving people the model I try to follow. Not disingenuously, it's because I like doing it this way. Then that's that. Let's go to your questions. I put this out on Twitter. I get a lot of responses. I kind of like this bit. Some of you made the show. Schmocky boy, Schmocky 22. What's the winning score if the USGA got a hold of PGA National? That'd be interesting. Wow. Yeah, the rough is going to be the thing people are going to say they grow out. But does it make them take more chances when it's not? I don't know. It's probably going to be plus for sure. What do you do to make that course more difficult? I guess maybe time of year, wind. It was really cold, too. I mean, I'm sure that played a factor in some of these early morning rounds. It was cold for Florida. First PGA golfer to get coronavirus. Bartholomew, BMF 1314. Am I wrong in thinking that the flu killed 48,000, that's a statistic, people between October and February? Hospitalized 500,000, touched 40 million. My family had the flu. I was afraid for their life. Not a lot of panic there. Maybe it's because of the name, as I said on Twitter. Maybe it's because of the name of the flu. That's why it didn't get the panic that the coronavirus got. They should have called the flu bonkers death virus. And then you'll get some attention. It's killing 48,000 people. Jason Rousland. Jason Rousland, DFS golfer 23. Will Brooks Koepka win a major outside of the state of New York ever again? I don't think so. Jude Deloy. Jude_UT4. DJ skipping the Olympics. How much did DJ's agent ask for in order for DJ to say he's skipping the Olympics to get ready for the FedEx playoffs? Yeah. Probably coronavirus related. I don't blame him. But it looks like the Olympics is just not a hot topic, hot commodity for some of these players. See Rory 2016. David Rohde. Rohde. What is wrong with Brooks? His knee. I just don't, the amount of torque and force he puts on his knee, I just don't know if he's going to come back like he was the first few months of the season. But what am I to know? Hank Mardukas, Chief Webber, how many 5-foot birdie putts does Rory miss this week? This is the key to everything. It is as difficult than anybody else on tour because he's so good as a ball striker for him to miss makeable putts for birdie. If he could do that on a consistent basis, just be an above average putter, he would be absolutely unstoppable. Unstoppable. I think he does this week. Do you know Sam Saunders is Arnie's grandson? BChill18_. I'm not sure that's the case. I don't think I've heard anyone say that. Kyle Riv, Christopher Nolan movie ranks. Number 1, Prestige. John Rinaldi, 19. Favorite beer? I don't drink. When I did drink heavily, I never drank beer. I probably have had about 8 beers in my life. I probably had 3.8 million vodka sodas. That's enough for me. One day, I'll share my life in drinking. I was amazing at it. Outcomes, questionable. I'm done with that life. There's the questions. That's it. Wait. Most overrated, lastly, Bat Boy Forever. Most overrated and underrated font. Most overrated font, Papyrus. Go see the sketch on SNL with Ryan Gosling and Papyrus. It's one of the funniest sketches I've ever seen in my life. Most underrated font, Avenir Next Condensed. That's a fact. Let's talk to our DK winner. All right, here with Aaron Linder from Cheryl, New York. What's up, man?
How are we doing today, Matthew?
You are... Where's Cheryl, New York? Is that upstate?
Yeah, upstate, right in the middle of the state. I'm 30 minutes almost directly east of Syracuse, right on the thruway right there.
Why are you at Lindros 810? You know he's my favorite player of all time hockey.
I know. You've tweeted at me before, too. I think one time when I got up high in your contest. It's just one of my variations. My last name is Linder, obviously, like you said, but I've got a few different nicknames. So that was one of the original nicknames that some of my baseball buddies had given me. So that's where that all came from.
Oh, all right. And you're in Florida right now?
I wish I had a better story for you, but...
Yeah, you should said you fought him in junior A. You're in Florida right now? I just gave away your whereabouts. I'm sorry.
You did. That's not top secret. Yeah, I'm in Florida on a little family vacation. Be heading to Orlando tomorrow, to Disney World, not to Bay Hill. It's a little disappointing, but the kids need to go to Disney World.
Yeah. And you are a certified athletic trainer?
Yeah. I work at high school in upstate New York. Been doing that for almost 20 years now.
You in good shape?
Since I got out of college, so.
You in good shape?
Nah, generally.
How many push-ups can you do in a row?
Oh, push-ups. I can probably rattle off 50, 60 solid push-ups.
That's pretty strong.
Nothing too crazy. That might be a little low.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
I try to do at least about 100 a day. I don't go to a gym. I just try to do push-ups, pull-ups. I do urban sprinting. Like I'll sprint to the bank. I learned somewhere that if you... Sprinting is equivalent of 7 minutes of long distance running. So I just chose.
Absolutely.
Is it true?
Absolutely, yeah.
So
yeah, there's a few different studies.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say there's a few different studies out there. You could find, you can get the equivalent amount, the same amount of work done in 20 minutes that you would an hour of just regular jogging.
Yeah.
It's a major difference.
So I'll be sprinting in office clothes to the bank. And people will see me and think I'm an insane person. Why were you? it's stupid. But I don't care. My heart rate gets up.
No, you don't. That's all you need. The heart rate get up. Yeah, you're better. You're always better off sprinting than you are just jogging around.
I knew it. People call me idiots for years.
No, nope, you're right. You're correct.
Who do you have you looked at? I know you're busy on travel.
I did. Yeah.
Have you looked at this week with API?
I did some research today. I was on the beach. doing a little day drinking on the beach today.
Yes.
So I had to do my research, so I was prepared for tonight. I don't know. Up top, we're just talking to strictly DraftKings. I don't know how you fade Rory. I almost think it's, you know, that Rory, and I kind of want to go back to Fleetwood again. I know what happened, obviously, yesterday, but, you know, he's been so strong. I think he's got to finish one of these, or at least I'm rooting for him to finish one of these, I guess, is the way to think about that one.
Correct.
So.
What else do you
think?
Like?
Those are the two up top. I kind of skipped over a lot of that next section.
Agreed.
I want to go back to Benny Ann. I know I've been riding him. I think one of these weeks he's just going to win a tournament by like 10 shots when he actually puts it all, you know, especially with the putting, obviously.
I love how you pronounce Ben Ann's name, Benny Ann. I don't know if you did that intentionally or it's just upstate New York dialect, but that may go in the front of the show.
Benny Ann, man. Him and Leishman and Hatton, I like in that middle range. I'm thinking about, I don't know how many, I guess depending on how many lineups I build, depends on how long the lines are at Disney tomorrow. All right, so I'm thinking about sticking with those three in the middle and kind of just mixing and matching, you know, up top and down low around those three.
Don't lose your kids at Disney building lineups.
Where'd my kids go?
I can get at least one long line in there, right?
There's a Twitter account called Disneyland on the Go that's the funniest account on Twitter, I swear to God. It's a parody Disneyland account, and they always have updates like Goofy's dead.
I'll have to check that out. I don't think I've heard of that one. That one's good.
Or we're selling vials of Mickey blood in the gift shop.
Oh, that's awesome.
Anyway, any low long shots?
Long shots. Who'd I write down?
Long shots.
I was kind of looking about, you know, looking kind of like same guys I kind of played last week down in that. I know Champ didn't play last week, but looking at Champ, Neesmith, Long, Adam Long.
Yes.
Kind of that group down there. I haven't dug in too far on that lower portion, but those are kind of mix and match, you know, the good ball strikers with some of those good Bermuda putters and try to catch fire with one lineup.
Aaron, can I interest you in Vijay Singh?
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't think I can go that low.
I can get him real cheap for you, man. Real cheap.
Real cheap.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I had – who's down low? Doc Redmond's, I think he's probably my lowest. I broke down – wrote a few down on a sheet here. But, yeah, but that Doc Redmond's I think is my lowest I've found so far.
I think a lot of people will be scared of him who played him last week, but I think he's due for a bounce back. I discount a lot of what happens at the Honda Classics because it's so treacherous.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we're building the same team this week.
But that's kind of the way I build week to week. I'm just trying, like I said, I'm trying to think of, you know, like you just said, you know, people don't want to go back to somebody just because of something that happened, you know, a couple of days ago. So it's an easy way to create, you know, some better line or good lineups compared to some other,
yeah,
you know, stay away from the higher ownership.
So my team's going to be Fowler, Rose, Vijay Singh again.
yeah, I can't. A few up top. Like I said, I don't really know what to do up top. I mean, obviously any of those guys could win in any given week. So that's the.
I don't know what to do ever with my life. Hey, man.
Every lineup I submit, I think about, is this lineup like messed up enough to win a GPP? Before I hit the submit button. That's all I think about.
Let me interest you in someone else, dead serious.
Who you got?
Francesco Molinari at $7,200.
I had him written down and I had him question mark. I was going to ask you about him.
Everyone gave me hell on Twitter. They thought I was paid by the Molinari family to tout that. But, he just doesn't care sometimes. And he just, you know, I think if he wants to perform, his track record here is the best.
Absolutely. And the thing, just the price, it's $7,200.
He won 12 months ago here. So
I think I'm going to have to squeeze him in on a couple, like I said, just, I mean, he's $7,200. I don't know. So I don't know how you go wrong with that.
I said Vijay Singh was a lock at top 20 last week, and he shot, I think, 106. So
yeah, I think Vijay's, you know, might be officially done here. The run might be over.
Yes. Aaron, enjoy tomorrow at Disneyland to go.
Absolutely.
Get me some goofy vile blood.
I will.
See you, man.
All right, see ya. Cash take you on the natural
joint. Cream, get the money. Tiger Woods, y'all. All right, Ryan, you played PGA National today. Tell me about your experience.
Yeah, we have a newfound respect for these guys. It was obviously very, very challenging, very, very windy. But just the speed and the firmness of the greens is unbelievable. It was hard to keep chips on the green. It was hard not to three putt. I think I had a handful of three putts. I think Joe had six. But yeah, newfound respect for these guys shooting even par under par on that golf course in those wind. It's just, yeah, absolutely.
What?
It's absolutely mind blowing what those guys can do.
You sandbag Joe. That's not nice.
Sorry, Joe.
I can't not go through this podcast without mentioning the pleated pants, because Scott and Schlepp made me talk about it.
Yes, the khakis.
Is it a new tour you're starting? I had to ask that question. I'm sorry. They made me say it.
Very, very old tour. No, it's whatever I found. I've been up at 5 o'clock like the last 5 days in a row. So whatever I found in my closet, yeah, that's what was going on.
Here's exactly what Scott said. The Bear segment needs to be sponsored by the pleated pants tour.
I'm glad I could provide
that's
some
it.
Entertainment.
It's done. I got it out. I win the money. This week is the Arnold Palmer Invitational. How many times are we going to hear that Sam Saunders is the grandson of Arnold Palmer?
Well, this is the first time I've heard of it, so.
I don't believe it's confirmed, but he might be.
Yeah. He's been off the grid for a while, so hopefully he plays better.
Here are two questions I've got. Mm-hmm. Does Tommy live another week? Does it bother him? He could easily win, but then the more I thought about it, what goes through his mind this week? Is it easy enough to just take the lead again?
Yeah, it's so he's tough to get a read on. My gut tells me that these close misses impact him more than he lets on. I think it helps that he did win recently, albeit in Europe. But he's also been the guy who can ride form for a while. And that's kind of what he's doing now. He had a run of, you know, 1-2-2 over in Europe. And, yeah, it's hard to get away from him. He loves this golf course. He's played very well here. He's going to be comfortable playing this golf course. It's just a matter of, you know, is he in that tier where he's priced, right? He's basically Rory and then Tommy and then the rest of them. So, I think I can see him playing well, but I probably will not be going there this week.
I don't think I've ever seen him putt as well, and maybe the stats don't back that up. And by the way, someone called me, rightfully so. I said he wasn't an elite iron player, and I said Ross Fisher. I said it backwards. I said Ross Fisher was a great putter, and Tommy wasn't elite. It was not an elite iron player. Those are reversed. Albeit, I do believe Ross Fisher at one point in his career was a... first of all, he bombs it. That's true. Was he not a good putter once?
It's tough. You know, I just feel like, you know, Ross Fisher had some good finishes in majors, World Golf Championships. And I figure, you know, when he was on TV, he was probably making putts.
So that's maybe, my thought.
Right? So maybe we just thought that he was a good putter, but he's not a great putter right now. No.
Most surprising last week, is Rose dead? Is his career not what it will be, what it was or will be ever again?
I mean, I don't know. He's definitely going through a rut, but I feel like we've seen this with him specifically before. I kind of have to look back. But he's also at that point in his career, and he's been honest about this, where like he just cares about winning another major. That's really all he cares about.
Yes.
But I also am not going to put too much weight into guys who missed the cut last week. That's Rose and that's Brooks and that's Fowler. I don't care that much about it. It was a brutal course. So let's move on to Bay Hill, where I don't think you're going to see conditions quite that difficult.
No, I don't. But in my notes this week, my notes, rolling notes, I had a lot of them. Straightforward course, not gimmicky, but very challenging. It's a huge annual event for the players, especially when Arnie was around. It's a, from what I understand, it's a lot of prestige for these players to be here. So it's a big week from that standpoint. The course, though, water hazards prevalent, considerable bunkering, Bermuda rye, from what we've known in previous years, has been tough, 3 inches at least. Wind, always a consideration. The par threes are long. You need to hit fairways to challenge the par fives. Par fives aren't necessarily that difficult, but you must putt well. If you look at the historical winners of this tournament, even putters who are not known to be great putters, Molinari, I think he gained two or three strokes last year. You putt well. The greens are large. It is attack it with good iron play, but you've got to make, you know, timely putts on really quick Bermuda greens. But that's standard PGA parklands, right? Best striker putter wins week to week. It's just who carries in the form and who holds it during the week through Sunday. But if you look at historical success here, Leishman, Rafa, Hatton, Rory, Tiger, Molinari, Fleetwood, all great iron players. Elite, in fact. Rory could win, my final note, Rory could win every year. I had this in my notes last year. Rory could win every year, but the putting is always the question mark. Remember him 2017, just came up short to Leishman, and, well, he passed Kisner. Anything else to add before I get to Mike Miller's notes?
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it. It's definitely a course that I think people label as a bomber's track, which is not accurate necessarily. You know, maybe the fact that Tiger's won here 8 times, it kind of got that label. But we've definitely seen the elite iron players play very well here. I mean, even last year it was, you know, Molinari and Matt Fitzpatrick, Im and Fleetwood were the top three or four. So I think that's the type of leaderboard it is. These are some of the purest greens, which you saw again last week, but I think these ones may be even better. And so you are going to make putts, but it does allow for guys who are not great putters to make some putts. Speaking of the iron play, the par threes here are very, very important. I think they're all over 200 yards. Yes. And that's where, you know, you're not going to make too many birdies, but you can make a lot of bogeys. And so I will look a little bit at par three scoring this week.
The bombers, I mean, there are some risk reward holes, especially the par five around the lake, where Daly went for it and won. Did he not?
He probably did, but I don't think he made it.
No. But I think that's where the, quote, bombers narrative comes into play. Mike Miller's notes, let's see if it lines up with what we just said. If not, he's wrong. Suburban Orlando, 20 minutes drive, Mike Miller at Smart Golf Bets, smartgolfbets.com. 20 minutes drive southwest of the city, Arnie owned, 1975, par 72, 7,300 yards. Challenging watery parklands, especially if the wind blows, heavily bunkered. There's 85. Eight lakes in play. Eight times lakes. I don't know what that means. 8X lake. Mike, fix that grammar. In play on 9 holes. Bermuda fairways, many dog-legged, 3-inch Bermuda rough. Wow, it was right. Overseeded with rye. Par fives, all birdie opportunities. Par threes are long. Average 217. You're right, Ryan. A big 7,500 square foot, fast 12-stimp Tiff Eagle Bermuda greens. What do you think your greens were at PGA Nationals still? 12?
More.
What?
More plus the wind. And I think that's the one part, you know. The wind not only will affect the left to right, but it will speed them up even more. Yeah.
Past Florida swing form, par three scoring, scrambling Bermuda putting. Welcome to the PGA Tour. Welcome to Florida on the PGA Tour. Okay. I did current stat weighting this week from Jagerbombs' amazing sheets, which were free until now. It's paywalled, which is okay. They're worth it. Jager_bombs9. I actually looked it up today. I've been saying it wrong for 11 months. I weighted approach very heavily. Tee to green, par 5, par 3 scoring, at the green, scrambling, Bermuda putting. Here's my model. And for once, I actually agree with what this computer box output. Rory 1, Matsu 2, Xander 3, Colin 4, Morikawa. Finau 5, Tommy 6, Leish, Stenson, Brooks, Adam Scott. Your move.
That's pretty good. I can't say that I have too many gripes with that. I probably would have Bryson a bit higher. I probably would have Finau a bit higher. But yeah, that all sounds pretty good. I think you are going to see a lot of those top guys up there. I think if you look kind of lower, a lot of the same guys we've been playing who have had really good stats out on the West Coast, it's going to be interesting to see how they transition. The one that stands out most to me is probably Max Homa. He also is going to show up in pretty much every single stat model. Obviously, has been playing out of his mind. I don't know if he carries it over here. He's never played here before, which is a bit worrisome. So that would be kind of one of the guys who I have a close eye on. I think also Lee Westwood. We were all over him last week. I don't know if he keeps it up and makes kind of that sort of run again. But those are two guys who I like stat-wise, but I have a little bit of hesitation using them.
I think Lee Westwood had a supremely out of character putting week for him. He's always been known as a ball striker, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Benny,
the same with Charles, right?
Well, Charles was out of his mind with the putter.
Look at those top fives last week. I forgot to mention them. Putting last week, top five in the field this week. Same putting surface. Charles Westwood, number 1-2. Vaughn Taylor, Sam Burns, Wyndham Clark. And by the way, Wyndham Clark, he didn't play terribly last week. Should still be in consideration this week.
Yeah, that was another guy. And I faded him because I saw, I mean, not just this year, but even last year where he played well at the Honda, he gained like 8 strokes putting. And of course I said he can't do it again, and then he did it again.
Well, yeah. Tee to green last week, M on Fleetwood, Steele, McNealy. He's really playing well.
He's playing great. So speaking of on, I think he's going to end up probably being one of the most popular bets and plays this week. You know, fourth last week after, you know, blowing up the first round. So he was plus 6 on Thursday and then battled back. And he was 10th here last year. I think he's way too short. He's like 40-1 in this field, which is about the same as he was last week in that field. So I'm probably staying away from Benny on this week as well.
Approach last week, Long, M. I really like Adam Long. Mm-hmm. Long, he's just so consistent. Long, M, McNealy, Charles Steele.
McNealy, yeah. I'm going to have to look at that because he has been very, very good.
Yes, he's been very, very good. And he's still, I think, 7.4 on DraftKings.
He has like 150-1 probably or 125, something like that.
Yeah. He's also known to be a pretty good putter.
So you know who else is a good putter who gained about 3-point-something strokes approach last week?
No.
Patrick Rogers.
Yeah. You like him, don't you?
Yeah, and I honestly forgot that he did have a top 10 here 2 years ago. He's made 3 or 4 cuts. He's made like 9 out of his last 10 cuts on tour. Nothing kind of crazy, but a lot of top 25 or top 35 finishes. Like, I think that's a guy who can steal the top 10 here. Probably can't win. But yeah, I think Patrick Rogers looks great.
Let's go down to the DK pricing then and value, because you're kind of hitting on some names that I like. In the eights, let's start there. Do you think that Leishman is underpriced or well priced at 8.6 for someone who does so well here? Such an great, one of the best approach players on tour statistically this year. We know how good of a putter he is, and he won in 2017.
Yes, I mean, I think straight up, I would take him over Stenson and Finau, who are both, I think, high eights, 8,900, 8,800. I would probably take him over Rose right now too. So yes, I think Leishman is a very, very good value play this week.
I think Colin Morikawa is as well, 8.4. He really just doesn't do much wrong. He almost can bank a top 25 from him.
Yeah.
And every course in America is his course, but a guy who can hit it a long way, one of the top iron players statistically like Leishman on tour, approach and can putt.
Yeah, in Manhattan, 8,100.
Very popular, though, right?
I would think so. I mean, he's still probably $300 or $400 more than he should be. But yeah, three or three cuts here with a fourth place finish 3 years ago. I think he was sixth in Mexico, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. He's someone who can put the lights out, as we know. So
the 7,000s. I know you like Answer at 7.8.
Love Answer.
Right? Rafa at 7.6. Mm-hmm. He's just so unpredictable. Right? I mean, he could go out in 62 on Thursday and then be 50th on Sunday. But he has a record here, pretty good. And we know how good of an iron player he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good wind player, too. He's just not... He's just not a great putter.
Yeah, he played great here last year, tied for third, and he came in last year in about the same form that he is this year. He missed a couple cuts, but kind of pretty mediocre finishes, and so that's definitely something. But he's a very, very underrated putter. He gets very, very streaky, so that's something that, I mean, you'll know right away, halfway through Thursday, if he's going to contend this week or not.
McNealy at 7.4, I mentioned him, and the big question mark, controversially, is Molinari. His track record here with the win last year is unquestioned. The big question is his form. Molinari seems to just not give a shit sometimes, and you can tell in his golf. He came in last year playing twice in 16 weeks with not great results.
Yeah.
And prior to those 16 weeks, he played the Euro Tour with not great results. And then he came in here and won. When he's putting the face of the club on the ball, seeing it up close at the Masters last year, it's really something to behold. But can he get that form back? At 7,200 and then, you know, triple digits on betting?
Yeah.
I'm going to take the risk.
I think so, too. Yeah, there's actually, I think now that I look at it, there's quite a few names down here. I think you're going to see people still play Harris English.
Grillo, 7.1.
They're going to play Bud Cauley. I think Joel Damon is a very interesting one. He's playing well. And there's not a better bounce back candidate this week than Keith Mitchell. We know this is the type of course he can play well on the Bermuda. He was basically last place last week at the Honda. Probably had a lot of pressure and stuff going back there, but he was playing really well in California. He contended here last year. Matt Wolf was down there. There's actually a lot of good stuff down here now that I look at it.
In the sixes, there's good stuff too.
Yes.
Hubbard, I think he said the most. I saw a tweet. I forget who it was from, and I'm sorry. Maybe it was the PGA Tour. The most rounds in the 60s this season. Mark Hubbard, 6,500.
Mm-hmm.
Has been was really good green and regs last week. One of the best, I think, in driving accuracy, but is known to be a really good putter. Adam Long, just consistent, predictable, reliable, makes a ton of birdies. I like Lonto Griffin, too. I always like Lonto Griffin.
Yeah, he kind of went through a few bad weeks and seemed to have found it again. So he's definitely way too cheap this week.
Moving on to bets. In terms of prices that are meet sort of catch the eye right now.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the first ones you put out there?
Yeah, so the first one was Answer. I saw him 80-1. You know, he's, I think anytime he's in that range, you know, 80, 90, 101, I think he's always a pretty good bet. He's going to win this year. I'm very, very convinced of that. And I also think, you know, he'll draw a lot of confidence from seeing all these other President's Cup players win. And we saw Cam Smith, Leishman, Scott, now M. All of them are winning, and he's the only one who hasn't. Neiman won in the fall. So I think that was the first one I saw. And then the only other one that I put in so far was Patrick Rogers. And I said about 10 minutes ago, I don't think he can win. But he was 150-1. And you get the top five as well. So I think Answer and Rogers. And then beyond that, you know, it's just a matter of what are you doing with Rory, which I think we'll talk about soon.
Yeah. I mean, top five, top 10, top 20 bets. That pricing isn't out yet, but guys like McNealy, Long, mm-hmm. Wyndham Clark, who are close to Molinari, you know, triple digits, that means it's going to be a pretty good price top 20. That's what I'd be looking at this point.
To Matt Wallace as well.
Yeah. Rafa.
Mm-hmm.
Answer, like you said.
Yeah.
Those numbers, top 20 in a round robin with some cats on the European tour.
Yep.
And then with Bernhard Langer to win again every week, which is absurd.
Yep.
Then you've got some, you know, you've got some multiples there that could pay off. I do think, and we jump to, I mean, for me, before we jump to European tour, by the way, this will make a good transition. For me, outside of my model TM at this point, on top, it's Rory, Tommy. Probably a big gap between that and like guys like Stenson.
Yeah.
And then deeper, Long, Wyndham Clark, McNealy types, maybe even a Patrick Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
But I just believe that Rory has come so close, and this is a weaker field for him in terms of the skill set it takes to win here. He's just going to hit. The poll was probably driving him nuts. I think this is where he lives now, and I think that he's just going to make it.
Sure.
I don't think he's going to let this one go. My opinion.
I agree with that. I definitely do.
The question is what you do going into Qatar in a new course. Qatar, excuse me, not Qatar. Qatar. The Commercial Bank Qatar Masters. Mike Miller's notes, I love the name of this golf course. Education City Golf Club, Doha, Qatar. 15 minutes drive west of Doha. Olathabal design, 2018. Par 71, 7,300 yards, three par fives. That's pretty long. Flattish desert track, almost treeless. Wind a potential threat. Challenging par threes. Rest look very easy. Water hazards in play on several holes. For somehow he read that it's going to be a 13-stimp green.
That's absurd. That's
absurd, right? In wind?
Yeah, that would be impossible.
Length off the tee, mid and short iron precision. I tried to look for... It's a beautiful looking course from pictures. I couldn't find any flyovers, which I like to go through. But the field has two names that always seem to play together. Bob and Schwab. Let's just start there. If you want to talk about a mix to get Rory on your quote card, unquote. Because Rory's 6-1, mm-hmm. 5-1, which you can't place you can put 2,000 down to win 10, but you're probably going to get 5-1 on Saturday night when he's a few back. But if you want to parlay him at the Qatar Masters, three names pop out to me instantly. Martin Kaymer.
Yep.
And especially at a course like this. If it's going to play a 13-stimp green, is that going to be a major speed, a majors-type speed green? And Robert McIntyre, not that he's in great form, but he can absolutely bomb it, and he is a very good putter and gutsy. Gutsy, meaning he's got guts. I don't mean he's got a gut. And then Schwab, right? Not in form as well, but... It's like the Finau list, Lovemark, Grillo of the past that you just Finau. I said that already. I'm going crazy. That you just have to stay on. Who in your mind, outside of those guys, do you like?
I like other guys who are looking for their first win. So kind of the same mold. I mean, Gavin Green, still. Thomas Dietrich, still. Jordan Smith, not looking for his first win, but
I knew you'd really say Jordan Smith. I left it for you.
Yeah, I mean, played great last week when he was supposed to, but I wasn't quite ready to go there, and he was in the top 10 last week. He spent a lot of time, I've been seeing, in the off season with his fitness. So I guess maybe rededicating himself, something like that. But I think this is a week where they're like, I would want to pick, you know, a handful of guys between 20 and 40. Like not take the favorites, not take anyone very deep, but I think this is going to be a wide open event. Anytime you get these kind of wide open, linksy desert courses with a lot of wind and where you're probably going to see the winning score, you know, make 20, 25 birdies, I think it brings a lot more guys into play.
How about Valimaki last week?
Yeah, I was not happy because I had seen him play well. I saw Coley tip him and I just whiffed on that one. But he was great. I mean, very, very gutsy.
In fact, they had Stone winning because Valimaki had to birdie 18. Mm-hmm. And even after he's walking from the 17th to 18th, there was no open live line available. I think they just assumed that Stone was going to win because Valimaki was in trouble on 17, so they closed it. And then they opened it up at 8-1.
Oops.
And I was like, okay, here's something with M.
Yeah.
And that guy, I don't know much about him. He's a young guy. He's had 6 European Tour starts, and he's won on his 6th attempt. Just looking at his body language, and he seems to have a really good caddy, he has no pulse. None. Nothing phases him. I like him a lot.
Yeah, he seems like he's got a very good skill set. He was hitting irons close to the hole, and he was making putts. Pretty much any time you do that, any course, you're going to play pretty well.
And cheers to Brad Kennedy. He got it, finally.
Finally, yeah.
All right, man. Get some sleep.
Start
planning for DFS Open 2021.
Yes, I know. We got the date was moved back a few weeks on us. If we're going to do Honda again, if not, we will look elsewhere.
All right, man.
See you.
Bye. All right, that's it this week. I know it's a huge call. I like Rory. For now, plus extras. Bob Schwab for sure, Keimer. We'll see what happens on Wednesday. Join the Listener League, please. Even you, John Hammond. I'm looking at you. Also, quickly, I'm not going to dwell on this. I did mention in the beginning of the podcast, someone asked what my favorite beer was, and I gave you a snippet of my former drinking career. I have had over the years, and recently especially, people ask me what I did to stop. I haven't really talked about it much, but I had a really good conversation with someone last week who was going down the same path that I was and asked how I was able to get clear. I'm not an expert on the subject, but discussion and support is always good. It's an exclusive club. So, if you ever want to DM me, I'm happy to chat. I don't have all the answers, but I do have experience. I will say that. Until 1:36.
Bite chunks of me. You're a shark and I'm swimming. My heart still thumps as I bleed. I know you're sniffing. Triangles are my favorite shape. Three points where two lines meet. Toe to toe, back to back, let's go. My love is very late. Till morning. let's desolate. Keep my all lovely wild breeze stones along my love. Desolate.